Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com. Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is incredible to be with everybody on a Friday. I know it's been a couple days since we did a live show. I'm grinding through this draft work. You know what I mean? We do this every single year, and we always release our draft book, which this is, I think, the ninth iteration, because we didn't release it the first year we started the show. I just talked about it, and then people were like, man, why don't you put your notes out there? I was like, oh, yeah, maybe we should do that. Man, that was 9 years ago. But, yeah, so we're going to have our draft book ready the first week of April. So this is where I get down to just like, holy freaking crap. I've got to speed up the process. It happens all the time. And so it's sad that, you know, the recording schedule kind of gets put on a back burner just because, like, man, we're doing 200 plus draft prospects this year, which is a lot less than we did in the past, but that kind of reflects the 49ers draft picks, right? You have no fifth rounders, you have no sixth rounder, you have no seventh rounders. They could trade back for sure. But I'm trying to do as much we are trying to do. It's not just a me effort. We have an incredible draft team. And so that's what we're diving through. So today's episode, man, the more time you spend with these draft prospects, the more stuff comes to light, and you're just like, your little light bulb goes off. Just like, ding, 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 ding. This is a Niners guy. This is a guy that fits so much of what the 49ers do, what the 49ers want to do, scheme-wise, character-wise, personality. Like, those things just jump off the table. So I want to share some of that. And I've seen a lot of kind of misconceptions, perhaps, out there in social media about, you know, you're starting to figure out who the 49ers are meeting with, these visits. What does that mean? And so I want to help understand and kind of decode what visits mean, because a lot of the visits are not just, oh, we're interested in this guy. No. And we'll dive into that. Going to focus a little bit on the tight end position, kind of what that looks like, a little bit of defensive scheme, whatever. Shout out to my man, Jonathan H., for the email. So, it's not all draft today. It's going to be a lot of draft today. But also want to talk just about, you know, again, revisiting this idea, what does Raheem Morris bring to adapt the 49ers defensive scheme, focusing almost primarily on the back end and what that coverage-wise will look like. Talking some tight end, some injury red flags. You know, the last, and this is, the negative of kind of what I do. So all 200 plus players that we have graded, I don't know our total number right now. I think it's 210. Every single one of them, dig in, you know, pull up their entire games played, snap counts, and injury history. And so we rate every single player 1 to 10 in several different categories, but every player we rank ranks 1 to 10 injuries, 1 being terrible, 10 being fully healthy, no injuries, no games missed. I'm going to give you the ones and the twos today, which, you know, for me, and I would also argue probably for the 49ers, those guys are thrown off the board. Non-draft eligible. Now, everybody, if it's a first-round prospect that has, you know, elite potential but major injury history, sometimes you could bump them down to a third-round grade, fourth-round grade, whatever else. But so I'm going to share that list with you, which I don't like putting out the negatives, but I think there's a couple names you're going to hear where you're going to be like, wait, what? I like this guy. I've been mocking him to us in the fourth round. Do with that what you will. So this is episode 1625 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Have to say thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill. And also one more programming alert. We have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout this Tuesday coming up, the 31st at 5 p.m. Pacific time. We spend an hour plus just going through. And so if you have draft questions you want to know, and this is the time I get to listen to you guys, this is the time for it. You can go sign up right now, 7-day free trial at the 49ersrush.com or on our Patreon page, which is at the very bottom or in the link of the description of this video audio. Go sign up. We have 7-day free trial. You sign up right now, you get to watch all of our draft breakdowns. 7 days, you're going to get our draft book. You're going to do the Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout, like covered. And you can cancel in 7 days. It won't cost you a penny. I won't even be upset. So go sign up for the Jerry Rice tier on there. Join us for the Zoom hangout next Tuesday, the 31st at 5 p.m. All that stuff is available for you. We just finished a Cassius Howell breakdown over there. We're working through our edges that are possible first-round targets. And man, there's a lot. There is a lot. We're going to talk about them a little bit today with the visits. Have to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Paul Hope, my man. I was on an episode of with the 49ers Hub yesterday, which I think I might be able to release the audio. They do audio only podcasts. So if you're on Spotify, go subscribe to the 49ers Hub. They're the OGs, man. Shout out. They're just the best. Nate, freaking Dan, Zachary, love those dudes. Go check that out. I did a full hour and a half show with them yesterday. But Paul Hope got brought up. And we were talking international games anyway. Paul, it's always great to see you in here. Steven, my man, appreciate everybody. We got Sean in the chat today, all the hashtag CCs. I love it. Paul says, I cannot wait for the draft book. Shouted that out on our show. Man, thank you so much. Miss you guys. Hopefully our paths cross with some of the, you know, UK faithful. There's no way it won't this year, but appreciate you, Paul. Thank you, guys. You guys are incredible. Let's go. What's up, Weber? I think it's Weber. Weber? It's Weber Grill. So I think it's Weber. Sean, yeah, it's been a while, man. Glad to catch you on a live. This time of year, it's just busy, man. And then you get basketball. Man, shout out to my Longhorns. Played well. I hate Purdue forever. That is not the way you play basketball, but that's okay. Congrats to them, I guess I should say. No, I take that back. Not congrats to them. I hope they – anyway. Longhorns were awesome this year. Awesome make the Sweet 16. Should have won that one, but that's where it is. Right here, Paul, what are people's thoughts? Best player available at 27 or a certain position? From the Niners' perspective, going to be a certain position. I think it's I have a difficult time seeing the first two picks not being wide receiver and edge. I just have a difficult time. Those are drastically the biggest needs on the roster. And you could say wide receivers, not a need anymore. It is long-term. Offensive tackle, definitely long-term. That's a premium position. You want to throw that in there. And the betting Vegas odds have offensive tackle the most likely pick, which I don't see. Even Matt Maiocco came out and said, man, he does not expect the 49ers to draft an offensive lineman until the fourth round, even if it isn't. Remember, no offensive tackles drafted in four consecutive drafts. No centers drafted in 13 consecutive drafts for the 49ers. Only teams that can say that. Guard, you just signed two guards. I don't know, man. I'm not I would love for them to, right? And this is where I disagree with the 49ers. I value the offensive line much more than they do. They do not. And the way in which the contract for Trent Williams is going, they're not trading that dude. They're not releasing that dude. He's not going anywhere. They have the rights. And after the draft, it's going to be even harder to trade him. Trent Williams coming back. Either he retires or he comes back. That's just what it's going to be. So do you spend a draft pick on a player that will not play at all outside of injury at the tackle position? I don't think that you do that. Do you spend a draft pick on a tackle that you could kick to guard, left guard, and then move to left tackle? Maybe this draft doesn't really align with that very well at pick 27. So I just don't think this draft aligns with wide receivers and speed edge players at 27. Maybe you want to call that best player available. I don't know. And for the people saying like, oh, draft to safety. I love Dylan Thienemann. If he's there or McNeil Warren, that's awesome. 49ers do not value safety. They just don't. So I don't see that either. I think it's down to two positions. And I bet big, man. I went in and bet big. I bet big on edge being the first round pick. And I hedged that with wide receiver. Do with that what you will. Not saying I'm smart because I'm definitely not. But that's what it is. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs, and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick during any of the 2026 NBA playoffs. Live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA.
Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.
Right here, Joe. What's up, Joe? Most of the visits matter as much as Kyle's injury reports. They always draft, like last year they met with Jordan Watkins and Mikael Williams. That's two players. They've drafted at least two guys that they have visited with each year. So the visits do matter. The visits do tell us a lot about what the 49ers are thinking, but I would push back a little bit. Not all visits mean the 49ers like this player. And a lot of times the visits will happen, and when that player leaves, they cross them off the list. Yeah, you got injuries are a big deal. Like you want to take them through your own medical stuff, off the field concerns. You want to know what's going on with their attitude based on, you know, what type of person. The 49ers will say this so many times. Do you love football? The 49ers, do you love football? Especially, you know, this Reuben Foster, post Reuben Foster, Joe Williams, post Brandon Ayuk. Do you love football? The Niners care a lot about that. And you start looking at some of these visits that they had, like the 49ers had in defensive tackle, Xavier Harris, who's probably going to go in the fourth round. This dude's already been arrested not once, but twice. So What does that look like, right? Like, you met with one defensive tackle so far. And right after that meeting, you traded for Oso Odighizuwa. So, like, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know what his things are. You know, Xavier Harris, the defensive tackle. But, like, that meeting takes place. That's why that is there. So, medical, attitude, off the field, you know, is this somebody that's just going to drive us crazy? Is he answering phone calls? Is he texting during it? Does he go into the meeting with his headphones? All those are Shedeur Sanders things, by the way, that happened. But, like, those things are important. Sometimes you got to get somebody in front of you to see, is this somebody I want to work with? Is this somebody I want to give millions of dollars to? And, you know, the future of our success of this team be dependent upon this maturity level. You got to figure that stuff out. You got to. And then probably the last thing about the visits, you use it to break up clusters. And this is the process I'm in now, where I'm stacking all of these positions vertically, right? All the wide receivers who are my first round guys, second round guys, third round, fourth round, fifth round, seventh round, UDFAs. And every single team has this Bill Parcells war room. Like, you know what that is, right? And again, with our draft book, I give you every single player, what their round grade is, what their overall rank is, all that stuff, horizontal and vertically stacked, so you can figure that out. And so, which looks really, really bad, but like I tell you where I am on every single player. We don't know where the 49ers are on every or any team, right? That's the blurred draft room. Which if I could kind of go through any experience, it would be, man, just let me sit in the war room or let me get a picture of that big board, right? And so trying to separate these bunched up positions, and the wide receiver position is the hardest of the hard. There's like, I currently have the third round is just stupid. I keep having to add columns to my horizontal chart because there's so many third round wide receivers. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I currently have 8 third round wide receivers, and there's like 2 more I got to get in there. Like, it's just an absolute disaster. So how do you differentiate? Well, they differentiate each other on, okay, like, is this somebody that has production? Is this somebody that has the speed that we want? Is this somebody that blocks like we want them to block? Is this an X, a Z, or a versatile guy? Okay, that's going to move you up. And the 49ers have brought in a lot of these guys. The most attention has been drawn to the 3 wide receivers that they have met with in the first round, right? You got Denzel Boston, you got Omar Cooper Jr., and you got Casey Concepcion. 3 completely different wide receivers, mind you. 3 completely different wide receivers. And shout out to my man, Rob Lauder of the Striking Gold podcast. He just put out an awesome podcast yesterday. Go check that out. Audio only. But he's the freaking man. He put this out and he said it better than I did. You know, I stacked these 3 wide receivers in this order. Denzel Boston, then Omar Cooper, then Casey Concepcion. But they all offer something different. These are Rob Lauder's words that I retweeted and said, boom, like, I concur. Do you concur? I concur. Why didn't I say I concur? Denzel Boston. This is what Robert Lauder said, okay? Impress me the most. Imposing can improve fighting through contact. That's what he said on Denzel Boston. Omar Cooper Jr., most well-rounded, tough after the catch. Lack of consistency irked me. For me personally, I'm adding this in, by far the most versatile of these 3. I think that he is he can play X, even though he hasn't really been asked to do that, but he could be a Z or a slot. Like, he could do that. Definitely 2 out of 3, possibly 3 out of 3 positions. Denzel Boston is just an X, but could play the big slot role if you needed him to. But like, X is the most valuable of all the wide receiver positions. So like, why would you not play him at that? And that is another thing that I want to put out there. I value the X wide receiver role much more so than just a slot guy. I don't value slot guys. I don't value slot tight ends. I really, really don't. Like, I value X wide receivers and tight ends that can play in line and move. That is my valuation of those things. Small slot shifty guys, I am not a big fan of. I just really, really am not. If you can't line up outside as a wide receiver, I dock you way too much. That's just me. Like, if, how do I say this? Like, you could look at Sean McVay, and he's like, dude, slot wide receivers are my jam. I'm going to find a way to get all slot wide receivers out there. That's cool. Kyle Shanahan doesn't do that. And I look at everything through the 49ers lens because that's the team that I cover and follow, right? If I was a Rams podcaster and only had two listens because there's only two Rams fans in the world, like, then yeah, slot wide receivers would be, you know, bumped up and I'd still get a front, yeah, whatever. Rams fans don't exist. Nobody, whatever. Now, back to Rob Lauder's words on KC Concepcion, perhaps the highest ceiling, and he does. Like, everything with KC Concepcion is you got to say, what does he look like in an NFL offense? Because he's never done that. He's never been asked to do anything that they do in the NFL. He's just a gadget guy at college, but highest ceiling, most separation on routes, even though he never was asked to really run routes. Gets real open, rough hands, drops everything. Some of the worst hand fundamentals, catching fundamentals I've ever seen for a possible first round wide receiver. And I don't think that drops are the biggest issue, but like he's bad. 10% drops, and all he does is run freaking slants and tunnel screens and hitch routes and like 10% drop rate. Like, dude, run a mesh. Like, I don't know. Then you go watch him at the combine and the gauntlet drill. He crushes it. Maybe one of the best of anybody. 49ers love that drill. So the 49ers met with all three of those guys. How do you break them up? For me, it's Boston, Omar Cooper, then KC Concepcion. I'm way lower on KC, but his ceiling is through the charts. So now we're back to, do you draft for ceiling? Are you going for home runs? Or are you drafting not to miss? Are you the type of fan that hates John Lynch because of all the draft misses? Or are you the fan that likes the past two drafts because you got a lot of hits? You got a lot of role players. Like, where are you? How do you fit in there? You want to swing for the fences, KC Concepcion's your guy. That's your guy. Denzel Bosa would be your number two. Omar Cooper would be your number three. Denzel Bosa, what he does with the touchdowns and the advanced routes and the hands and the catch radius, and like, that's awesome. That's rare. It's Mike Evans-esque without the speed. He does not have this. He didn't even run a 40. But his change of direction's good. His route concepts are good. His blocking's A+. His hands are A+. Already runs the NFL route tree. Will have no issues stepping into the 49ers offense at all. KC Concepcion's going to have to. He's going from simple arithmetic to advanced calculus. He's going to have to take time. It's going to be that Jacob Cowing type approach where that dude's got to learn the playbook. So you meet with him. Dude, can you learn these routes? Because you've never been asked to do any of these advanced routes at all. Playing wide receiver for Kyle Shanahan is the most difficult in the NFL. All 32 teams, Kyle Shanahan's the most advanced, period. For wide receivers, it's the hardest. Doesn't mean it can't be done. Just means it's the hardest. What's up, Sid? Appreciate you, guy. That's right. Mock draft season in full swing. I got to get another one done. Me and Wayne are going to do a mock draft soon. I got to reach out to him and figure out what time he wants to do that. Yeah, I appreciate you guys. You are awesome. Paul says, wish I could join the Zoom. I'll be fast asleep. Yeah, that time over across the pond, that is a killer, man. Oh, Paul, yeah. Reach out to me. Paul says, do a show. I'll be on you guys' show. We can figure that out, whatever. Weber, yes, like the Weber grill. I love it. Right here, Brady, he says, we're fixing to be kicking it in Melbourne. I've been corrected several times by the Aussies that it's pronounced Melbourne, not Melbourne. It's spelled Melbourne, but it's Melbourne. Anyway, dude, I cannot wait, Brady. I am the most excited. And now the date is officially set for the Australia game. Aussie time is September 11th, 10:35 a.m., going to be an early kickoff. And California time, if you're watching it from home, it's going to be Thursday, September 10th at 5:35 p.m. So a primetime game for there. I cannot wait. And if you or anybody you know wants to go to Australia, the packages are up. the deposit. It is time to get it in. Fully refundable deposit. But if you need Australia details and you're going, we got you covered. 49ers rush road trip is going down under. The 49ers and Rams play in Australia to open up the 2026 season, and we got you covered. We are now taking deposits in a partnership with X Hospitality and True Fan Travel. All you have to do is go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, and you can sign up right there and get your deposit in. It's $499 deposit, but here's the kicker. Fully refundable all the way until the end of May, which that's going to give you several weeks after the official announcement of the schedule. But we're trying to build this out and make sure that we have spots for everybody that is serious about going. So, however, if we fill up our spots and you didn't get your deposit in, then I hate to say it, probably not going to be able to travel with us. We're covering direct flights from San Francisco all the way to Melbourne. We've got 4-star hotels. We're all going to be staying together. I can't announce that until the NFL announces. They've got a lot of red tape on that. Game tickets, which it's going to be very difficult to get game tickets for this international game. It's the first game ever in Australia. We got you. We got transportation to and from the game. We have all-inclusive tailgate before the game. We have a rally the day before the game with a former player. We'll announce that later. We're going to the wildlife refuge. We've got wine tasting and dinners covered. We've got you. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Go ahead and check it out. Make sure you like it. And again, if you're one of those people that's like, I'm not coming from San Francisco, we have non-flight options. So if you just want to meet us there, that is there as well. If you want to stay longer than the 7 days that we're going, you do the non-flight option, fly out on your own. You join us for the week of the game. We have everything covered. Everybody is welcome to come, all ages included. So go to 49ersrushroadtrip.com, get your deposit in now, and make sure you save your spot for this legendary event, 49ers Rush Road Trip. And if you have any questions, just go to the site, fill out the contact list with, hey, can I do this? It's on the site. They will get your questions answered. And if they don't, email me. 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com. I will get you your answers. Do not miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime event. Yeah, I've seen the 150,000 people are trying to apply for tickets to the Melbourne game. Only 100,000 spots in that stadium. Now, the most common question I keep getting, so you don't have to email me this. We do have tickets included in our package. We will not be giving tickets out to people that are not part of our overall package. So even if you don't fly with us, but you do the full out there, game tickets included. And if you want to upgrade that ticket, we're going to have that option to add on later at a later date as well. But we're not going to have extra game tickets for people that are not traveling with us. Now, if you want to come to our, you know, pregame event, our tailgate, our postgame party, the day before a rally, yeah, those you will have available. But as far as game tickets, that is exclusively, which if you book with us, that's guaranteed in there. Your game ticket's in there. Like, we have already negotiated that with the powers that be. So that is going to be there for you. So if you want guaranteed tickets, which not everybody's going to get in, sadly, I hate that that is the way that it is. And that's part of the price structure. It's pricey what we're putting together. But anyway, that is available. So if you want the guaranteed game ticket, you book with us, you're good. But we will not have extra game tickets available no matter how much I want to try. I don't think that that would be right of me to do that and secure those for my friends. Anyway, take for that what you will. Now let's get through some of these questions. I've got a lot of questions tagged here. This is going to be a fun episode. I'm not going to get through half my notes. Jessid, what's up? Jess in 20. Can the 49ers ask guy to go through workouts during their top 30 visits? Yes. Everything is fully negotiable. Some players will, some players won't. Medical, film work, interviews, workouts. I want to see you work with a position. Like, all those things are on the table. The agent, the player, and the team have to kind of all agree on those things. And players could turn down visits. Players don't even have to go. Like, or players could go and say, no, I'm not working out. I already worked out the combine and my pro day. That's all I'm going to do. If you have more questions, like, all of that is just open with what it is. Now, here's the list that I have currently of everybody that has visited with the Niners. Edge Romello Height, who I love. I think he's back into round one, early round two. He's my next breakdown over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. I love Romello Height. Akeem Messidor, he's awesome. Probably going to be gone off the board before the Niners pick. Defensive tackle Xavier Harris. He's that dude that's been arrested twice. He's a fourth-round pick. Cornerback, Dalen Everett, fourth round pick. Safety, Michael Taft, hook him, fifth round safety. Offensive tackle, Alex Harkey. That is an undrafted free agent. The only offensive tackle the 49ers have met with. The only. Last year they met with a bunch of them. This year, only one been reported so far, and he's an undrafted free agent type guy. I don't know. They met with four wide receivers, Denzel Boston, Omar Cooper, Casey Concepcion, and Antonio Williams, who's kind of a second to third round guy, smaller, shifty, kick returner, whatever. But yeah, you can do literally whatever it is that you want to do with those types of players. That's where that is. Now, shout out to my man, Jonathan H. He is a freaking legend. One of our most loyal listeners and has helped us in the past. Just want to say thank you to him. He asked this question. What do you think is going to change on the back end with Raheem Morris? And he asked a couple more things, but I wanted to focus on that. I really am most excited about this. A lot of attention gets placed on the smaller edge rushers, which he drafted, you know, James Pierce Jr. And he drafted, you know, the Georgia guy. His name's right off the top of my head. Jalen Walker. I don't know why I'm looking to the right. I don't have the answers over there. But so it worked. Like, he went after these smaller edge guys. The 49ers had Bryce Huff as that speed edge rusher under Robert Saleh. He retired. I think they were going to cut him. Really bad tape, but happy that he's retiring. Good luck in his future endeavors. Awesome. You don't have that on your roster. You have four quality defensive ends currently on your roster. None of them fit pass rush specialists. You got Nick Bosa. You got Mikael Williams. Those are your starters. Keon White. Awesome. Big dude, closer to defensive tackle than he is a true D end or a speed edge rusher. And then you got Sam O, 6'1", 270. He's a bull rush extraordinaire, run game, you know, kind of your versatile. Sam O should be your fifth edge rusher. Like, he should be your fifth edge player. He started most of the season last year because of all the injuries. But, like, you've got your four base Buck-style ends. You need a speed edge guy. And you look at, you know, what the Falcons did last year with Raheem Morris as their head coach. They not only drafted a small speed edge guy, they traded back into the first round and got another one. They hit on both, by the way. I just think you have to get that addressed. The biggest need on the current 49ers roster, as is, speed edge rusher. You don't have it. You don't have it. You have to get it at some point. Free agency is pretty much done. You got to get it. But on the back end, what I really want to see, not too much change in personnel. And you look at the coverages that Raheem Morris run, cover three quarters, cover six, cover one man. That's not changing through our last three coordinators. You know, Wonder Bread, Nick Sorensen, Robert Saleh, and now Raheem Morris. I don't see that changing. So I don't think you have to change really personnel. But what I want to see changed is, man, more fire zone pressure, which isn't a true blitz, right? A fire zone is you're bringing four, but you're blitzing a backer and dropping a defensive end. Still four-man pressure. Doesn't constitute as a blitz, but it's a fire zone. I want more disguised coverages on the back end. The Falcons were much better at that than the 49ers were. There would be one to two plays a game where Robert Saleh would, you know, go to an invert Tampa 2 from a cover 3 look, and it was like, oh, that was awesome. But it was like one or two plays a game. The Falcons do much more than that. So disguising and holding your coverage before you declare on the back end, that's what I want to see more of. So more disguised pre-snap looks and early read looks after the snap, more five-man pressures, more fire zones. Those are the three areas that I really, really, really want to see changed on the back end of the 49ers defense. You don't have to be so vanilla all the time. Robert Saleh is the most vanilla defensive coordinator in the NFL, but the simplicity is where he has success because everybody can run it. We're not going to have busted coverages unless 27's playing. We're not going to have, you know, mental lapses unless Renardo Green's playing. Let's spice it up a little bit. And so that's what I'm most excited to see. And the personnel on the back end, this figures into the draft. Your roster's kind of already set. Most teams keep nine defensive backs on their opening 53-man roster. Those are kind of already penciled in. Cornerbacks, D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green. I know there's like trade rumors out there, but now you're post free agency. Maybe you get a draft day trade, but those don't happen very often. And if you do, you're going to get fourth round value on that. I'd rather keep Renardo Green at this thing. You now have finally a quality defensive back coach and Eric Gray that I think can help him. So Demo, Renardo Green, that's two. Upton Stout, he's a home run. Nate Hobbs, who you just signed, you paid him roster money. He's making the roster. And Darrell Luter Jr., that's five corners. Now you got Ciaran Neal behind him. He's making this roster, special team stud. That's six. Jacob Robinson, who you really liked last year, undrafted free. We had him on the show. Great kid. Broke his arm the last drive of the preseason. Eli Apple got called up several times. Trey Tomlin, like, you've got your room filled. If you can improve it, great. But what is the line we always hear from Kyle Shanahan? Oh, we didn't think they could beat out the guys we have on our roster currently. I just don't see cornerback as a major need. I just don't see it. So if you draft a first or second round corner, one, they've never drafted a first round corner. The most draft capital they've ever spent at the corner position was Renardo Green. And that's the guy they're kind of out of now. So you mean tell me they're going to go back and spend even more? So let's say you spend a second round pick on a cornerback. You put him ahead of Renardo Green. You're going to put him ahead of Nate Hobbs. You're going to put him ahead of Darrell Luter Jr. I'm not so sure. Now, safety's a mess. But you've got three young rookie contract players. 49ers don't care about safety. They care about that position less than any other position. The highest they've ever spent on safety is a third-round pick. That was Jair Brown. He's now your backup safety. You got Mustafa. You got Marquise Siegel. You got Jair Brown. Behind them, you got Derek Canteen and Derek Forrest. But, like, your nine DBs that you keep on your 53, yeah, I wouldn't mind Jair Brown being moved. I wouldn't mind Renardo Green being moved. But is that going to make you that much better? You're going to spend a second-round pick on one of those positions just to swap them out? You've got other needs. I don't know. You finally have a defensive back coach at Eric Gray. That's huge. I am such an Eric Gray fan. Ugh. Yeah, Sin says, you know, I agree, keep Green. Yeah, Sherm said we need a vet safety. I agree. But if you're getting a vet safety, why don't go get them now? When have the 49ers addressed veteran safeties? After the draft, after trading camp, Tayshaun Gibson. Like, they don't care about the safety position. They really, really don't. You could look at, you know, Dylan Thiedemann or Warren out of Toledo. They do not value that spot at all. Not even a little bit. Like, I would argue out of 32 teams in the NFL, the 49ers value safety probably 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. They're bottom five. So to expect them to spend a first-round pick on a safety, I'm just like, no. Would Dylan Thiedemann make me super happy if they drafted him? I'd be pumped. I'm tired of terrible safety play. But they're already leaking it through their puppet, you know, content creators. They're pretty happy with the safety position, and they think it's going to improve because of the defensive line. The pass rush is going to be better. The linebackers are going to be better. Do not hold your breath, man. Like, for the people that go through mock drafts and have offensive line and safety, like, draft early, I just feel bad for them because it's just like, I'm not disagreeing with their assessment of the roster. I'm disagreeing with the Niners' value on those positions. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah, Hufanga was amazing. Should have kept him. I think major miss. All-pro year last year without the 49ers. Second all-pro year, man. He's a freaking stud. He's a stud. All right, let's get there and let's talk about our tight ends, which is a need. Major need, right? Shout out to Logan. He says, I wonder how Chapman feels about the tight ends in the draft, considering Kittle is going to be out for a considerable amount of time. Being post 30 in Achilles, not ideal. Post 30s with an Achilles that took place in January, even more not ideal. Now, you did extend for 2 years. Jake Tonjes, Los Gatos. I love that man. And you got Luke Farrell, which nobody loves that man. His family does, and that's great. But Niner fans can't stand him, and rightfully so. you have a need. Last year, I was pounding the table. Harold Fannin Jr., Harold Fannin Jr., Harold Fannin Jr. Go get Harold Fannin Jr. Hold on just a second. I got to see this. Harold Fannin Jr. went in the third round. He was my number one player of the draft last year. Sorry, this is just more for my own issues. But I think he went before the 49ers drafted in the third round. Did we take – I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah, he went pick 67. So thankfully – you know, the 49ers weren't really in the spot to get him. You know, he went the third pick in the third round. The 49ers picked, you know, 43rd, Alfred Collins, and didn't have a pick after that. But we did have Nick Martin at 75. Like, Harold Fannin was my favorite player of the draft. He was an absolute stud. Whatever. You needed a tight end last year. Now, Jake Tonjes elevated and kind of filled that role of the receiving tight end, right? Like, what Shanahan's never used. This is something that I think is important for people to understand. Shanahan does not use small tight ends at all. Like, never has at any stage in his entirety of his career. He just doesn't use small receiver-only option tight ends. Jordan Reed was probably the closest. But then we start talking about guys like Kenyon Sadiq, okay? And this is going to lead me into my analysis of this tight end draft class, which is really good, really, really deep. There's two molds. You have your tight ends that are really slot wide receivers, your Brock Bowers, whatever else. Kenyon Sadiq is a little bit of the unicorn of this class. In the fact that I think that there are two smaller tight ends that are receiving options primarily that can help in the run game a little bit. Kenyon Sadiq fits that. Justin Jolly fits that in the fourth round, right? I like Kenyon Sadiq. I don't think that he makes it to pick 27 because other teams value that Brock Bowers, Sam Laporta role way more than the 49ers do. Oh, no. Are we having some issues over here? No. My internet's going weird. Let me close a bunch of windows. This is not good. I'm going to close it all. Oh, no. Hopefully the show is still going pretty strong and you guys are still with me. are we still getting live comments? Are we still getting live stuff? Hopefully we are. But what I would say is this. Okay, looks good on your end. Good. Yeah, my computer like froze for a second. That was different for me. Kyle Shanahan doesn't use those small guys. And think about when Kittle was healthy, which we're not in that realm right now. Dude, Los Gatos was on the sideline getting no snaps. Kyle Shanahan will not play a smaller move tight end with George Kittle, ever. He's not going to. Don't expect him to change. Kyle doesn't change his scheme. He believes in his scheme to a T. He wants a blocking tight end, and he wants George Kittle. Well, you don't have George Kittle for a while. Guess what? That's what Jake Tonjes is going to do. When did Jake Tonjes thrive? Every time Kittle was out, Jake Tonjes was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, getting targets out the wazoo. Brock Purdy loves him, right? So that move tight end role, that small shifty tight end spot is filled with Jake Tonjes for the next 2 years. And when Kittle's healthy, he plays that role. The do-it-all tight end, the extra blocking, you know, Charlie Warner, talk about Luke Farrell. Ugh. Ugh, gross. Like, that is what you should be looking at in the draft. Kenyon Sadiq is not that. Kenyon Sadiq can block. He is aggressive at times. You can find a couple clips where he's blocking defensive ends, defensive tackles. But if you're drafting Kenyon Sadiq, you're basically saying we're done with George Kittle, which you can't really do with the contract that you just gave him. I don't know. I struggle with that. If Kenyon Sadiq was there at 27, do I think Kyle takes him? I don't. I would like him to, and I like Kenyon Sadiq. I don't have a first-round grade on him. I have a second-round grade. I might be the only one, but like he's going to be like my number 18 or 19 player in the draft. So from a best player available standpoint, I think that it fits. It's just in this offensive scheme, you don't see that. He blocks. It's not consistent. His hands aren't consistent. There's nothing really consistent about Sadiq besides his athleticism. He's a damn good player. I value big body tight ends that could do extra. Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland. Those are the guys where I'm just like, okay, I'd be cool using a first round pick on those guys. 27. Yeah, it's a first round pick. That's a back end of the roster first round pick in a weak blue chip class. I don't think Kenyon Sadiq goes top 10. I think he goes kind of that 11 to 22 role. If Kenyon Sadiq's there at 27, I get it. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan would sign off on that, or I think he'd rather have a premium pass rusher, speed edge guy, which there's a bunch going to be there, or a wide receiver. I think he values that more, personally. The only small tight end that they've ever drafted that is a receiving guy was Cam Latu. That was back into the third round. How'd that work out? You've got Los Gatos, you know, on your roster. You don't even use them. You don't even use them unless George Kittle's out. So, again, this tight end class, there's two different types. There's the slot wide receiver, Brock Bowers mold. Kenyon Sadiq's the best. Yeah, that first round. Now, if you like Kenyon Sadiq, you should like Eli Stowers in the second round. That makes more sense. You could get Eli Stowers out of Vandy at the back end of the second round. Maybe. I think he might go a little bit earlier than that. Now, he don't block at all. Converted quarterback. That dude's not blocked. Like, he is just a wide receiver. Freak athlete. You know, Kenyon Sadiq light. You can get him in the second round. I don't know if he lasts all the way down there because other teams value that way more. Justin Jolly. That dude's got production. He's better in the run game than all these smaller guys. Kenyon Sadiq's better than Justin Jolly as far as the small whatever. And then Michael Trigg, but like major, major injuries, no blocking. That dude is just a pass catcher only. I don't like that. Now, the do-it-all tight ends. Here we go, my man. Kali. He says, John, what do you think about tight end from Stanford, Sam Roush? These are the guys that I value in the draft that I think match what the 49ers do. Max Clair, Sam Roush, Oscar Delp, Jack Injuries. Those are your bigger body tight ends that will block. And Sam Roush fits that. My problem with Sam Roush is where the 49ers are picking. The 49ers are picking at the back end of the second and then the back end of the fourth. You have 58 pick, then your next pick's 127. Sam Roush is going to go in the 60s to 70s. So either you take Sam Roush super early in the second round, or you ain't getting him because you've limited that. Now you got Osa Odigizuwa, which I freaking love. But if you want Sam Roush, you got to take him the second round or trade back from the second round. I don't even think you could trade up from the fourth round. That's like, this is a guy that's going to go in the third. I love Sam Roush. I think that he's awesome. I just think the 49ers are a little bit no man's land with trying to land the Stanford tight end. Like, that's where I see. Like, you look at Max Clair. I like Max Clair a lot, but major injury issues. 2023 ended with injuries. 2024, he's kind of a second-round guy. Fits exactly what the Niners want to do. They didn't really use him as a receiving option, but he could be. But the injuries, I'm concerned about. Oscar Delp, that would be the guy. If I could have a tight end, there's two tight ends that I just love for the 49ers. Oscar Delp out of Georgia and Jack Injuries out of Texas. Now, Oscar Delp is weird. He played that Darnell Washington role at Georgia where he was the blocking guy. He was the Charlie Warner, literally the Charlie Warner role. I didn't even think about it. I got to put that in my notes. Like, he did the Charlie Warner role. He's done it. 6'5", 245. Doesn't have the biggest arms ever, but just ran a 4.48 at the pro day. Like, come on, man. Played the entire season on a hairline fracture foot he didn't know about. He gets red flagged at the combine. And everybody's like, dude, this dude's still a freak athlete. He couldn't work out of the combine. They wouldn't let him. Like, for legality reasons, he got flagged at the medical. Hairline fracture, he didn't know about it. Played on it all year. Just played through it. Now it's been, you know, corrected, went to the pro day, dominated, athletic, whatever else. I freaking love this dude. And like, you know, I had to back down his injury grade to a 7. It was a 10 because he never missed time. Broken foot, played on it all year. But he was, you know, they didn't use him as that receiving option because they had the who's the name's escaping me. The shifty little wide receiver, the Georgia cat, Zachariah Branch. They put Zachariah Branch in the slot, rightfully so, and he played the Brock Bowers role. So they just allowed Oscar Delp to do all. He was basically used as extra left tackle. Athleticism's there, receiving's there. Like, I love Oscar Delp. Now, you've got to be okay with that hairline fracture, what that looks like. I'm huge. I love Sam Roush. I think he's kind of no man's. Oscar Delp fits what the Niners want to a T. Like, he is exactly how you draw it up. Exactly. And then Jack Injuries, like, he's your fourth round guy. Like, I don't like Jack Injuries near as much as almost any name I've put up here. Like, Roush way better, Claire way better, Stowers better, Sadiq better. But Jack Injuries is going to be where the 49ers pick in the fourth round. It's a better pairing because he's not going to go as early. He doesn't have the flash. 6'4", 245, a little bit smaller, but not too small. And he's just a jack of all trades that does everything. You know, was at Cal, transferred to Texas. Big, he can run the seam. He's not like, nobody's going to confuse him with, you know, George Kittle or even Los Gatos. Like, that's not happening. But, like, he's just average at everything and gets the job done. Very consistent play. He's a fourth-round tight end that can come in and take Luke Farrell's job. He would take Luke Farrell's job like that. If you need him to do a little extra, you can. But, like, he's in the mold of the Ross Dwelly. He's Ross Dwelly. A little bit more consistent in the blocking game, right? And even if you are out on those guys, there's still so many tight ends, even past that. So a lot of the names that are getting attention, there's just so many guys after that. And part of my problem, I'm going to dip into my injury red flags, is, man, there's a lot of tight ends that I'm just like, I can't draft. So, like, I grade 1 through 10 on the injury scale, right? 1 is multiple seasons in, you know, multiple ACLs to the same league. Like, Lake McCray, tight end USC, he got a 1 on the injury scale. Only gave 5 players 1 grades. Michael Trigg, tight end Baylor. Caleb Banks, defensive tackle, who everybody loves. He broke his foot, same foot 3 times. I'm sorry, I can't do that in the first or second round. I just can't. Dante Corleone, which is like the coolest name ever. Defensive tackle Cincy and Adam Randall, running back out of Clemson. Those are my ones. I only gave 5. Now, 2 grades, 2 out of 10 injury scale. Again, these are guys I would not draft. Now, if you are going to draft them, you got to have them in, or the combine performance and the medical checks, you got to be okay with it. Le'Veon Moss, running back, Texas A&M. No, just no. Eli Raridan, another tight end that I do like out of Notre Dame. 2 ACLs on the same knee already. Those happened 10 months apart. Now, he did play 2025 and stayed relatively healthy, but, like, you got to take a discount on that player. And then another tight end that I put in the 3 category, Darren Bentley, tight end from Utah. Perfect fit. Perfect 49ers fit. 4th, 5th round. Awesome. Man, he's got a lot of injuries. So you put it collectively together. Do they check the film? Do they check the threshold? Do they check the play style, the character, the injuries? These are guys that I'm just like, No. Now, 2 more players that I had 3 grades on. Peter Woods, defensive tackle. The top 2 defensive tackles, I'm just like, I would not draft. It makes so much sense why the 49ers traded for Osa Odighizuwa. It really did. This defensive tackle class is rough. There's depth, but, like, your pass rush specialist, major red flags. Like major. And would they even be there at 27? Would you be willing to use that? Like, it's just rough. And then Jalen Daniels, quarterback Kansas, just too many injuries. Too many injuries. Right here, I got a couple Caleb Lamu questions. Let's dive into it. I'm not the biggest Caleb Lamu guy. I like him. Struggles run blocking. Okay, what is a Kyle Shanahan offensive tackle? You got to run block. Like, you look at Mike McGlinchey, like, these guys you go after, Spencer Burford, Jalen Moore. Like, you got to run block first. That's Caleb Lamu's worst trait is run blocking. He's 6'6", 313. I like him. He's 24 years old, already a little bit older. So now you're talking about drafting a guy that's older that you want to sit for a year or two and then play, or you want to move him into left guard. Cool. Now, what does he do? Well, pass pro stud. Just awesome. He's a 2 on the experience scale. So, one, he's already older, and he's played some of the fewest snaps of any draft-eligible offensive tackle. I don't like that. I don't like that. Perfect knee and hip bend with a photo-perfect posture and pass pro. I love that. Pass pro is why you want him. So you're trying to get away from the run game? Cool. 27, you're going to get a flawed whatever. Not sure he can add any more weight, which you would like him to do if you're going to kick him into guard. Perfect zone fit, but can play at any scheme. Doesn't get much push in the run game at all, but put him in space, just enjoy. That's awesome. But like you watch him, he moves well in space, but the consistency on his down blocks and one-on-ones against Buck style ends, you're just like, ooh, kind of, he gets pushed back in the hole consistently. Great at replacing hands, playing with a lot of passion. Silent tape seems to suggest he loves football. Kept his quarterback clean. No sacks allowed. So if you are here's my traits. Experience 2. Versatility 6. I'm not sure he can play left guard. So you draft Caleb Lamu. I don't know if you can kick him into left guard. He is light. And like you got that one-on-one versus 3 techs in the run game consistently. Dude, that's the worst part of his game. So you're going to ask him to do that against stout defensive tackles when he struggled at Utah against Buck style defensive ends? I don't know. It might be asking a little too much. Pass pro, sure. He's awesome. Versatility 6, speed 8, acceleration 8, injury 10. No injuries, no games missed. I love that. Seems like an awesome dude. And so the athletic comp, Roger Rosengarten, who the Niners were really high on. Can you kick Roger Rosengarten into guard? No. Walker Little, Stanford guy, right? You know, 6 year or whatever. Can you kick him into guard? No. So if you're drafting Caleb Lamu, who I think is a great prospect, I think he's a great player, you're pigeonholing this dude into tackle. You don't need a tackle if you're keeping Trent. So you look at the 49ers' overall moves this season. Everything is saying, man, we're going hard for a year to 2 years. Why would you draft a guy that can only play when Trent is healthy? How is he going to contribute in the first-round pick? You're going to draft a first-round guy, and you're just going to redshirt him, and he's already 24, and he already doesn't have experience, and he probably can't play guard. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's where I get it rough. Now, will he fall to number 27? You look up the consensus big board. Right now, he's going 22nd overall. Teams need left tackles. Teams need left tackles, and he's one of the few guys in this draft class that has played left tackle. A lot of the tackles in this draft class are right tackle players. Caleb Lamu, he's one of the few. He's played a lot of left tackle. That's easy plug and play. I struggle with the 49ers spending a first round on him and trying to convert him to a guard until Trent retires. I don't like, man, you could ruin this kid. You could ruin this kid. That could be Josh Garnett? Josh Garnett? Yeah, Josh Garnett. Like, bad. So, yeah, I don't know. I like Caleb Lamu. And if you're done with Trent and he's retiring, send the damn pick in. At 27, that's a crazy value. I'm not as high. Where do I have him on my big board? I have a second round grade on him. He is my number 6 tackle. And again, this is through a 49ers perspective. I have Max Ayana-Acher ahead of him. I have Blake Miller ahead of him. I have Fano, Maoga, and I have Freeling ahead of him. I like Caleb Lamu. I really, really do. I do. Yeah, so it kind of right here. Logan says, no Dallin Bentley love, huh, Chad? I love his game. I hate his injury profile. You like, no. I want to pull it up just so I could. I know I talked about it, but I didn't put in my notes all of the details. Major injury history all the way back in high school. Had a broken tibia fibia fracture, hamstring issues in 2024. Missed a lot of time in, I think it was 4 consecutive seasons. He's 23-year-old. Again, those Utah guys, the age is always kind of a little weird with BYU and Utah. Not that that's like a major red flag, but like you look back and it's like four consecutive seasons all the way back to high school where he missed significant time. That is just, it's too much for, like, it's a lot of years. And again, I had him as a 3 on the injury scale, but I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. But I love how tough he plays. I think he's awesome. And he's a guy, where's Darren Bentley going draft-wise? Like, this is a guy you could get with your last pick in the 4th round. Or if you do trade back, right? He's going to pick 189. That's his consensus right now. So are you okay taking a medical guy, pick 189? That's 6th round. Yes. 4th round? Nah. I mean, he's a 3. He's not a 1 or a 2 on our scale. But he's a 3. You want to bump him to a 4 because you feel more comfortable with 2025. He was finally healthy. Trade back, I'd love to. And he goes undrafted free agent, I'd love to. I'm fine taking risks in 6th round, 5th round, much more than I am 1st or 2nd. 3rd round, not really. 4th round, maybe. So that's kind of the way I see it there. That's where it's... So deal with that kind of what you will. Paul, what's up, man? What do you make of the draft being in Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh is one of my top 3 cities I've ever gone to for a football game. Acrisure is incredible. The fans there is awesome. Pittsburgh City is a blast. I'm not going this year. We're not doing a draft event this year. This offseason is rough for Chapman's. We're in transition. My oldest is graduating high school and moving to Texas. We're helping him with that. It's my 20th anniversary. So like we're taking a trip to, Europe, which I'm super pumped about this summer. And we're downsizing. So we're empty nesters now. We've already gone through it. So when little Chapman moves out, the missus and I, we're packing up and we're moving house. We're staying in the Bay Area, but like we're downsizing. We're at that stage in our life, which I'm super pumped about. So we just got a lot of stuff. So I've constantly promised the wifey I'm not going crazy. And so, you know, last year we did 350 players graded. This year we're doing just over 200. You know, every year we do the 1 through 90 specific episode to every player on the 49ers roster. This year I'm going to shrink that down and do like 5 players. We're still going to do the roster countdown. Nobody else does that. I don't want to give that up. But we're going to do like 5 player segments in one episode instead of each, you know, 90 individual episodes kicks my butt every year. So we're going to shrink that down. So, and we're not doing a draft event. So I'm trying my hardest to, I want to make it to 20 years married. I don't want the wife to leave me in a stressful, stressful time. Now, one more player that I want to dive into that gets a lot of love in the mock draft circles for the 49ers, and that's Zion Young. I'm not sure this is a guy that's going to be on the 49ers board. He's fun. 6'6", 262, power edge, possible first round choice. He's got the off the field issues. Big time, big time. You know, had a DUI recently in December 2025. So, like, you're talking at the end of football season, about to get drafted to the NFL, and then you go get a DUI. Now, this is not me here to go through the positives and negatives of DUI. This is me just saying, dude, the future of your life is right here before you, and you make the questionable decision to do that at that time. That is a red flag to me. Dude, come on, man. You're about to be drafted in the NFL. You just went out and got a DUI? Like, you can't do that. And it was at 1:40 in the morning? All right, that's another one. And I wrote down the – it was like – It was speeding pretty good. It wasn't, you know, Georgia football player speeding, but it was pretty good. Then on top of that, he has an aggravated assault charge after a football game against Michigan. Got in a fight with a fan after the Michigan game in the tunnel. Got suspended 4 games. So it's just like, all right, you had that one thing, and maybe it was just too passionate about the game, and you could whatever. But now that, like, I don't know. Man, Logan, yeah, well said. The film, Zion Young reminds me a lot of Mikal Williams, but he's got the off-the-field stuff. He's 21 years old. He is super, super young, streamlined power edge, super tight-hipped. He has no wiggle or bend whatsoever, bull rush extraordinaire, great in the run game. He's a good player, but I don't know. And so I keep getting questions about Zion Young. I'm just sitting here saying, I'm not spending number 27 pick on him when, one, I already have a similar player in him and Mikael Williams, who I think is better. Mikael Williams is a better player. But two, that's rough. And yeah, I've gotten this too. Shout out, Steven. He said he sounds like the one reckless player we need on our roster. You know, there is the mentality that some possess that you need kind of that reckless or dog or, you know, whatever crazy Charles Haley, fill in the blank guy on your roster, like Justin Smith. Like, I don't know. I don't mind having some of that. I don't want to spend a first round pick on that personally. You bring something like that in a free agency after they figured it out a little bit. You brought Drake Greenlaw back. That dude's got all the dog you've ever needed with no off the field issues. Like Mike Singletary, right? Like all the dog you've ever wanted, no off the field issues. Like that's what I want. The off the field issues, a little much. So yeah, I'm not removing Zion Young from my board. He's not going in the first round. I'm not taking him at 27. The 49, like, I'm just not. It's not the biggest need. You need an edge player. You need an edge speed rusher. He's not that at all. Big Toad, my man, thank you for super chat. Who are your five best players available you cannot pass at 27? Oh, man, that is a great question. I have not stacked. I'm going to answer this question, but I'm going to talk through it. I have not stacked my board vertically. One through like my first player, second player, whatever. I haven't done that yet. I'm still going position by position, stacking vertically against positions. Here are the players that have a possibility. Okay, here we go. I'm scrolling. Dylan Thienemann would be on there for myself. Best player available. I'm not saying he's one, but this is out of order. Five guys that have an opportunity to fall to 27 that fit best player available. This is me stepping out of the 49ers would do, and what would John Chapman do with the current roster, right? Dylan Thienemann's on there for sure, 100%. Denzel Boston on there for sure, 100%. Cassius Howell on there for sure, and also he fits the 49ers predictive skill. Max Ionacher, he's on there for sure. Those four, I got to get one more. I got to get one more. I think, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to go Akeem Mesidor, who the 49ers met with, by the way. Like, that would be my five best players available that I'm just like, if they're there, you take them. So, who did I say? I said Dylan Thienemann. I said Akeem Mesidor. I said Denzel Boston, I said Cassius Howell, and Max Ionacher. Like, I think that I'm very high on that kid. I am very, very high on the offensive tackle out of Arizona State, and he is raw. I mean, just started playing football recently, played on right tackle predominantly, but, like, that is a dude that I'm just like, man, if he hits, oh, if he hits, 6'5", 321, he could play guard. He could play guard right now. Dude just learned tackle. He could play guard. And he could kick out. Way higher ceiling at everything. Run blocking way better than anything Caleb Lamu's ever put on tape. This dude just started playing football 3 years ago. A little bit of a weird whatever, but ceiling. Oh. Right here, Logan says, I'd take Romello Hyde over Zion Young. 100% I would. Not even close. And Romello Hyde, that's my next breakdown. So we've got Cassius Howell. We've got all the wide receivers up. We're working through the edge guys now. The next one, probably going to get that done tomorrow. I got it. I struggle with the video draft breakdowns during the draft writing type because it just takes so much time to step away. And I'm like, dude, I got to get this done. It's Easter Sunday next week. Like, oh, I got all kinds of stuff going on. Anyway, so that's where that is. But yeah, I like Romello Hyde over Zion Young. I am with you. Now, if you needed an all-purpose defensive end, then that's a conversation to be had. But Romello Hyde's cleaner. Off-field stuff's cleaner. The need fits a bigger need. Yeah. And I'm talking OU and Missouri. I hate both those schools. anyway, thank you, Sid, for the happy birthday. You are the best. One final reminder, just before we jump out of here, remember, Tuesday, the 31st of this month, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we are going to be having our Zoom hangout. This is time we get to hear from you, so come hang out with us. It's going to be an absolute blast. Those details have already been posted on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon page. And if you want to support what we do, that's how I pay the bills. And that's how I put foot on the table for the family. So if you do like what we do and you enjoy what we do here, go sign up over there. We'd appreciate it. You guys are the best. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com. Here's something most people don't realize. Great sleep doesn't happen by accident. It starts with what you're sleeping on. That's why I switched to Sheiks. Their bedding is made from the same performance fabrics you'd find in elite athletic wear, but designed to help you sleep better. If you run hot at night, these sheets help you stay cool and dry. If you love that cozy, ridiculously soft feel, they've got that too. Comfort that stays consistent from the moment you hop into bed. And for anyone with an adjustable base, this is a game changer. Their Stay Fit corners are the best I've ever tried. No slipping, no popping off, even when the bed moves. When your days are demanding, Sheiks helps you wake up restored, not run down. Try them for yourself with their 60-night risk-free guarantee. Upgrade your sleep at Sheiks.com.